Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 280 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here with you this week. How are you all?
Very well, thank you.
And did you enjoy your holiday?
Oh, it was lovely.
You were off where?
Nice weather. Turkey.
That was good.
Yes. A bit of sun before we go into the dark winter.
Yes, it is a little bit cold these days. And yes. We have, of course, the rest of November, which is only going to get chillier, I feel. But there we are. What's coming up on the show this week, Zoe?
Well, music-wise, we are going to be talking to Tinny, who's our Norwegian singer.
Yes, Tinny from Norway joining us on the phone a little bit later on. Also, we'll be finding out all about fundraising for a brand new monument as part of the National Memorial Arboretum on behalf of the Staffordshire Regimental Association.
And as well, we'll be catching up with Phil Butler, who's going to be coming to Telford shortly, I do believe.
He will be there.
We'll also be talking to Elena Cassidy-Smith about Owls on the Prowl.
But first of all,
the Nicholas Wright adaptation of Pat Barker's Regeneration is on at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre right the way through until Saturday the 8th of November. Set during and immediately after the First World War, this is a slightly different take on some of the war plays and productions that are currently going on the 100th anniversary of the commencement of hostilities in World War I. It follows the war experience of Siegfried Sassoon, who feels that the war is actually being prolonged to capture more land rather than in the name of liberation of those countries that have been overtaken by the German armies. He finds himself under the care of Captain Rivers, a psychologist working in Edinburgh with officers who've been returned from the front line with shell shock and other assorted conditions. And as a published poet, Sassoon meets up with Wilfred Owen, who has also been writing some poetry based on his war experiences. It's a very moving production exploring the lives of several of the patients at the Craig Lockhart Army Hospital in Scotland. The production and stage set are very well produced by the touring consortium theatre company and Royal and Derngate, with excellent sound and scene changes and a sympathetic take on the characters' lives. Not only is it a thought-provoking play, particularly at the 100th anniversary of the start of World War I, but also it's got some comedy and humour along the way and really gives you an insight into the way the characters feel following their time on the front line. For more information and to book tickets, go along to grandtheatre.co.uk. You can follow The Grand on Twitter at Wolves Grand. Also, you can find more about the theatre company itself at theatrecloud.com or by following them on Twitter at TCT Company. And if you do want to tell anyone else about the play, just use the hashtag Regeneration. I also popped along to Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre last week when I caught up with one of the stars of this year's Panto. Saturday the 6th of December sees Cinderella arrive at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre, and where would you be without a fairy godmother? And that is Nikki Evans. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I'm looking forward to a busy Christmas period by the looks of things.
I love Christmas in Wolverhampton. I love it. It's like coming home for me because I did 3 years running, then I had a break last year and now I'm back again.
Yeah, and obviously you emerged onto the scene with loads of great TV along the way. One bit of that was The X Factor, and I mean, it must be great taking part in something like that, but even more fun when you do it a panto.
I just love panto. I just absolutely love it. It's because I do so many different roles, and I've just played an Irish woman. So to come and dress up, I always get the dowdy people. I don't know why. You know, like Mrs. Johnston and all those. The only ones I've ever played that's like a bit wacky and out there is Legally Blonde Paulette. So to come and wear like big glamorous dresses and put wigs on and tiaras, it's quite different for me.
Yeah, so for the acting work, the panto is the bit where you get to have fun. And it must be great. I mean, I know you've met up with the cast already. You've had the panto launch earlier this year. And it's going to be great working with the rest of the guys. So give us a rundown on how the cast lines up.
Well, we've got Julian Clary, who's absolutely fantastic. We've got Joe Tresini, he's lovely, he's playing Buttons. And we've got Ben Stock, who's playing one of the Ugly Sisters. I've worked with him before. He's absolutely hilarious. So yeah, it's all, well, I haven't actually seen the script as yet, so that's quite, you know, so it's, they always keep me under wraps because I keep saying, what am I singing this year, what am I singing? But I think I'm gonna get a shock because I've heard on the grapevine that they're all original songs.
Oh, that could be interesting. But I mean, it does get to show off your musical talent, and it's, you know, something which I know the audience is gonna absolutely love whatever number you're doing.
It's the Wolverhampton Grand, and just the people, the cast and crew and people in Wolverhampton, they know me because I'm here a lot. And so it's lovely because as soon as I start singing, most of them join in. And I've had so many Facebook messages saying, can't wait to see you, can't wait to see the show. Because I just love it. When I come back to Wolverhampton for Christmas, it's Christmas. When I was somewhere else last year and I was waiting for Christmas to arrive and it didn't arrive. And I feel really Christmassy coming in, really Christmassy coming in today. It's just absolutely brilliant. I can't wait.
So are you living over in Tamworth at the moment? Is that right?
Yeah, I lived in Guildford for a while because I was on the West End. So I'm getting on. So the commute from back to forth from Birmingham was a lot. And I did it for 6 months, commuted. And I thought, oh, I'm getting too old for this. So yeah, I lived in Guildford, had enough of the Southerners and moved back again.
But I mean, it must be great though, because it's one of the biggest theatres you've got locally, and I mean, Tamworth's a great place to be in itself, but you've got so many friends and family around here who must enjoy coming along and rooting for you during the panto, and you get to be one of the good guys as well, which helps.
Yeah, I am a good guy this year. I was a bad guy last year, but I'm a good guy. Yeah, and all my family just absolutely love it. They had to all get a coach last year and come down to wherever I was. So my sister lives in Cannock, my brother still lives in Chalmsley Wood, you know, so, and my other brother still lives in Cannock, so we all, yeah, we'll have a get together over Christmas. It'd be fantastic.
And you get to take your wand home with you as well to magic a few things up for Christmas.
Well, I did last year. No, the year before I took it home and they were all moaning, going, oh my God, we've got to make her a new one. But I've just seen my new one and it's absolutely huge. It's huge and it lights up. So I haven't literally got to go to one of the girls when I come around the front, one of the little girls, can I have one of your wands? Because they always light up at the front and I never get a lighty up one. So probably all my moaning has come off, paid off because I've got one this year.
You are proud of your lighty up wand. I do like that idea. And Cinderella's a magical story as well, isn't it? And you get a big part of it. You make it all happen.
I do. And you know, it's I get a pumpkin and I get Cinderella and a couple of mice and we see what happens from there. But you know, most people know that, yes, the fairy godmother is the one to look for, because I'm the one that makes it all happen and keeps all the baddies away and makes everybody happy at the end.
Now, you mentioned a few of the things you've had going on over the last few weeks. What have you got in the run-up to Christmas? Have you got a busy time before you arrive at the Grand?
I haven't, thank God. I've just finished a play with Anne Nolan, which was so much fun. We've just done that. So I literally finished it, was it last week? And I was supposed to be doing another play in between, but my brain just couldn't take on it. I couldn't take it all on. So, you know, sorry to say that I pulled out of that one. So I can't wait, because literally I think it's a week or so till we start rehearsing with this. So this has been really good.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you're into November, it is panto season as far as the performers go, at least. And the magic is that those scripts, you may not have seen it yet, but that's because part of it probably still hasn't been written, because they're always very topical too.
It's really funny when you get the script, because I kind of try and learn everything before I get there, because I don't want to look stupid. But then obviously within the first 3 days I've had 3 scripts, because they go, no Nikki, don't say that, sing this, don't do this, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, there's more scribbles on a panto script than you've ever seen. But that's what keeps it fresh and fun. I love doing stuff like that. So even though I'm going, where's my script, you know, but they're going, oh, it'll be there, but it doesn't matter, because it all changes anyway. And I love the director. I've worked with him before, Andrew Lynn, and he's just amazing. He absolutely cracks me up every day.
It's going to be a really big cast. There's going to be, as I said, big stars, yourself, Julian, and of course Joe as well, as the big ones on the poster, which is what counts. But there'll be some absolutely fantastic outfits as well, I'm sure. And again, you've got a lighty up one there, but there'll be glitz and glamour to go with that too.
I am full of glitz and glamour at panto. I love it. And if it doesn't matter which part of my body, it has to have glitter. And I was going, I must have run out of glitter spray last year a million times, but I've got a stack of them this year.
Secret stash.
And Linda Lusardi, the last time I was here, showed me how to put glitter on my lips without eating it. So I've got a nice big black long wig, glittered up like to the nines, and tiara. Honestly, I'm just like a mirror ball when I come out, so you'll know it's me.
Obviously, you will take some time off. What is a family Christmas like for you? Will you be trying to get along to a panto on one of your nights off?
We are one of the longest running in Wolverhampton, so it's very difficult. Unless they start or finish after, which is very rare, then I don't really get to see anybody. It depends, because a couple of friends, we have Monday nights off, so I'll run down. I did actually go to Wales the other year to see a friend in panto. But I like to just get home. I've got 2 new puppies, which are downstairs. And my boys, well, I say my boys, you know, they're all everywhere now. They're not boys, they're men. I just like to go home and have a family Christmas. I love cooking. I make gingerbread houses, which take 3 days to create and 2 seconds to demolish. So I love that kind of thing. And being back in the Midlands for Christmas, it's just, I can't tell you what it means to me.
Absolutely, it should be a good time. And if people do want to find out more about the rest of your work, and I'm sure there's music out there that you can go out and buy, what's your website and where can people find things from?
Well, you just put my name in, nikkievans.com, and there's things that you should see and things that you shouldn't see. Just shoots up. I'm around.
Brilliant. Nikki, great speaking to you. Have a great time in Panto. Yeah, traditional break a leg, but let's hope there's some good slapstick in there as well that makes it a bit of fun as you watch the rest of the guys messing about too.
It's normally me that's messing about, to be honest. Yeah, it's going to be great. Come along and see. Everybody's going to have a great time, and I love the kids. Especially, there might be something that makes kids go, ooh, when I walk on this year.
Okay, there's going to be some magic in there, yeah, for definite. So the Panto starts at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre, Saturday the 6th of December through to the 18th of January. It is Cinderella. For more information, 01902 429212 for the box office, or pop along to the website, grandtheatre.co.uk. Nikki, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Let's take our first song then from our featured musician this week. It's Tinny and Send My Star.
When I fall asleep, I keep dreaming that you dream of me. 'Cause when I wake up, you're the first thing I don't see. Here on Regent Street, other couples over killing me. I don't understand this, I still believe somebody's loving me just a bit too softly. Look up at the sky and past the satellites, I send my star to you.
She joins us now on the phone from Norway. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank good. And you?
I'm very well and good to speak to you. And we've got quite a lot to talk about, really, because you've been working on music for some time. But I know that your appearance on The Voice in Norway worked very well for you.
Yes, it did. Yeah, very nice.
And you're currently starting to release your work in the UK, which is why we get to talk to you and hear some of your tunes now. But tell us a bit of the history and how things came together, because you've actually been working with a-ha on some of this stuff.
Yes, I did. I was at the Voice in Norway in 2012, and I had Magne Furuholmen, which was from a-ha, as my mentor. And he was sending me actually out of the program, but he wanted to work with me afterwards. That became this album, Under My Heart, which is out now in the UK, and that's so exciting.
What part has he had in producing? Is it like as a from a production side of thing? Has he been involved in that, or is it with the music or the singing? Or
no, he's not singing on the album. He's written some songs and also been in the production. He has played guitar and piano, and he has been a very big part of this whole production. I'm super excited to work with so great people.
Are you contributing towards the lyrics and the songs themselves as well?
Yes, of course. I think that every song has their own story, and I feel that when I hear, I also have been written songs to me, and also been written some stuff myself. And I could definitely rely to the lyrics in my album. They're all not personal experiences, but it's everything, the most of it, you can actually relate to pieces in your life through your life in some kind of way. So I really hope that's going to be a bit the same for the listener too.
How was it working with your mentor after the show had finished? Because it must have been quite a privilege for him to say that he wanted to work with you, you know, being such a well-known star himself.
It was another experience. I have never been working with people that have been so much, has so much experience in the business, so it's been a totally amazing situation for me. I've learned so much, and I'm in this business also to learn, so I feel so privileged to have this both Magne Furuholmen and Martin Tereffe, who's my producer too. They are so they have so much knowledge and inspiration to give me, so it's been fantastic.
And when it comes to producing music in Norway, obviously a lot of music is imported into Norway. You've got a relatively small population, so releasing something just for the Norwegian market is probably a little more difficult than it would be in some places in the world. But having been to Stavanger and been into record shops over there, you do still see a good range of locally produced music. And have you been tempted to do purely Norwegian work, or do you enjoy singing English as well?
Well, I do enjoy singing English and also Norwegian music, but I think I want to be able to get out in the world and have as many as possible listening to my music. And I think that when I'm singing English and doing my songs in that language, I think there's a lot of more possibilities to reach out with my message to other pieces in the world. But maybe someday I'll do something in Norwegian.
You never know, it could happen. I'm sure it'll sound beautiful if you do. And tell us a little bit about where you're from. Which part of Norway is your home?
I'm from the south of Norway. It's called Kristiansand. Quite small town, but it's starting to get very developing. So it's a very nice place to be in the summer. I love my hometown, but I live in Oslo. It's the main state in Norway. So I've been traveling back and forth sometimes with my family.
Mm-hmm. And is it getting a bit chilly there at the minute?
Yeah.
It's that time of year, it starts to get a bit cold. Well, good luck with the album. Give us the full title and tell us more about how we can get a hold of it.
Yeah, you can. It's on iTunes, you can, and on Spotify and on Amazon. It's called Under My Heart, and I'm very happy to have it out there in the UK, and I hope that everyone will enjoy it.
Well, all you need to do is search for Tini, which is T-I-N-I, and yeah, you can find the album that way. And what we'll do now is we'll take a listen to the title track from the album. This is Undo My Heart. Tini, thank you for joining us.
Of course, thank you.
Ta for now.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye.
Catapult to throw out your doubt. It flies for miles to love again.
Tinny and Undo My Heart.
We are slightly disappointed at this point, aren't
we? I am slightly disappointed. I came up all excited expecting to meet the one and only Phil Butler.
And he wasn't here. But he's on the phone. Now, we were hoping you were going to be here in the studio with us. We will get you in over Christmas at some point. But, hello, how are you?
I'm all right, mate. How are you? Hello, Zoe. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
I was going to have a cup of tea and a biscuit in your ambulance.
Oh, it would have been lovely, you know. I mean, absolutely lovely. It's not the last time it could happen.
Yeah,
you know,
you're going to be here throughout the whole of December and into January, I think, pretty much, aren't you? So up in the area, because you'll be performing on stage in Panto, which we had a little chat about a while ago. And if anybody who missed that conversation, what are they on about an ambulance for? Phil Butler is the only Phil Butler is the only man I know who, when someone chants you're going home in an ambulance, is thinking, well, yes, and I'm going to sleep in it as well.
That's right. I live in my little ambulance. My Betsy the ambulance, she's called, and I'm sitting in her now. She's absolutely beautiful. She's a thing of beauty.
And where is she parked at the moment?
She's in Watford at the moment.
Aha. Okay.
I was going to travel up and spend a few days in Telford, but my plans have changed now, as they always do. So I'm just going to come up on Friday now. It's going to be a good show.
Yes, because you are performing at the place in Telford, which is, of course, where the Panto is going to be held, but this isn't your family-friendly do, is it, this one? This is a proper comedy club.
No, it's not. I was going to swear then, but you can't swear on this thing.
Over-18s, is it?
Yes, it is. It's an over-18s thing. Yeah, are you going to be able to make it? It'd be lovely to see you.
I can't, because I'm in Bristol for the weekend.
Oh, what are you doing there?
I'm just going to explore and relax a little bit somewhere a bit different, because I didn't realise you were in the area.
Explore?
Yeah.
It is nice in Bristol.
Is there to explore? There's not a lot to explore.
I don't know yet. There could be things. I might go and see the SS Great Britain.
Oh, yeah, well, I suppose, yeah. Yeah, but I think all the explorers have been to Bristol already.
But I've got free hotel accommodation to use.
Oh, okay.
Well, I thought there might be something free.
Well, how about you then, Zoe?
Are you going to come and see Phil live?
Ooh, where are you going to be?
Telford.
The place in Telford, Oakengates.
The place in Telford.
Can I bring a plus one?
She doesn't listen, does she?
she's not paying attention.
Can I bring a plus one?
Of course you can. What's her name?
Behave. Anyway, we'll sort out Zoe's guest listing arrangements later on, but you can tell us a bit more about the gig, because it's not just you on your own, is it?
No, it's not. It's my very good friend Herbie Adams is on with me as well, and Abby Roberts, and also Tony Merez, who I saw recently on the on YouTube, which I thought he was very good. He's kind of one of these improv-y type of blokes, which is really cool. And then, of course, Herbie, who I've worked with many, many times before. I go away with him to, you know, Turkey and Crete and Egypt and all that sort of stuff. So he's a good friend of mine. And Abby Roberts, you know, she's absolutely fantastic as well. It's going to be one of those, just like a comedy club night. It's anything goes. It's a little bit of Blue for the Dads, I suppose. But it's a bit different, you know. I mean, I've been to Telford, you know, a few times now. And, of course, did the Panto there last year. It'd be really good to do my show there, which I tour around, as you know.
And it's absolutely fantastic. But does this mean that you're going to be like playing to a theatre venue for a comedy club?
We're going to be in the theatre there, yeah. We're going to rock it out.
So that's going to be like, it's almost a stadium gig, isn't it? You know, it is a nice setting to be able to sit down, and everyone's really focused on what you're doing on stage.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, we want that sort of that focus. You know, because, you know, theatre seating is always the best seating to perform in front of. You know, everybody's focused, everybody's, you know, looking the right way. You know, when you get these gigs where they're all on round tables, you know, they're all kind of looking at each other. They're not looking at the stage. It's bizarre. No, it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. How rude is it going to get? I mean, it's going to be some over-18s perhaps that might be blushing a bit.
Yeah, well, I go very, very over-18. my stuff is, you know, I mean, they actually put in the script last year for the pantomime. Phil comes in and does his swearing toy routine. And I thought, well, not in the panto, surely. Yeah, but you can get a bit rude.
That's very rude.
Well, you've seen it, haven't you?
I have. And it's good quality entertainment, and the swearing isn't completely out of place. It's not just for the sake of it. It makes it work, doesn't it?
That's right. So I wouldn't swear just for the sake of it.
No, not gratuitously or anything.
No. Well, maybe a little.
Maybe, yeah. but how do people get all the tickets for this one?
They can just get tickets from the Open Gates, Open Gates Theatre, the place, in Telford.
And it's a tenner to get in?
A tenner to get in, yeah, very, very cheap to get in, you know, for a comedy club, for a theatre show. You're going to be paying sort of, you know, 15, 20 quid to see, you know, a big name over at a theatre, and then you get to see four big names.
Mm. Well, it all starts at 8 o'clock, and the box office number is 01952 382 382. That's 01952 382 382.
And I was just about to tell you that.
You were on the tip of your tongue, wasn't it, all along?
it totally was.
And that's the same phone number for the rather more friendly, as far as families go, Christmas pantomime as well.
Yes.
Don't get the dates mixed up, for goodness sake.
That could prove interesting. And how are you preparing yourself for your role as Hugo Le Gaffe? Because we've seen all of the stuff online, all the pictures, the little video clips and everything. It's looking fantastic. The costumes are great.
It's looking amazing. Do you see the trailer?
I've seen the trailer.
That's great, isn't it?
It's brilliant.
The trailer's really, really good. Yeah, I don't know. I've got the script last week. So I've kind of had one read through it, and that's all I've done so far. But it looks really good. It looks really funny. You know, obviously I should put my little bits in there as well. It's usually, in the script, it just says, you know, Phil does a bit. I've then got to come up with 5 minutes of material to do in that little bit there. So,
pressure.
Yeah, no, it's always fun, though. It's always fun.
Well, that, if you're interested, is Beauty and the Beast, and it's the 9th of December through to the 5th of January, and it's £9.50 through to £17. And once again, that box office number, 01952 382 382. And we shall look forward to seeing you and your ambulance very soon, sir.
Yes, indeed. I hope so.
All right. I hope it's not too chilly in there for you, because the temperature's dropping, isn't it, now?
It is, yeah. Mm. Well, I'm only in it for another month now, and then, of course, I go to pantomime, and then I don't know what January's going to see me doing.
Who knows? You could be in Sharm el-Sheikh again, couldn't you? You could be spending time with her. Life you lead, Mr. Butler. There we are. Good speaking to you. Thanks again, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Bye
now.
Let's take another track then from Tinny. This one is Solitary Me.
I am the future, the past, the first and the last, wrapped up in a smile. I am a walk in the park, a stab in the dark, but only for a while. You can, like no one I know, see what's behind what I show. So, solitary me,
Silly and Solitary Me.
Elena Cassidy-Smith joins us now on the phone. It's been a while since we last spoke. And since then, you've been working with some owls. In fact, Owls on the Prowl. Elena, hello.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
Yes, Owls on the Prowl. It's a new venture that was started last year, towards the end of last year. And it's conservation workshops, predominantly with younger people, but it can be with all age groups. So we've done workshops with sheltered accommodation, sheltered housing units. We've been invited recently to do some work perhaps within the prison service, which we've got to pursue still, and schools being the sort of mainstay of what we're doing. So.
Well, I've seen some of your Owls on the Prowl at owlsontheprowl.wordpress.com, and they are fantastic animals, aren't they?
Yeah, they're gorgeous. Yeah, we have two owls at the moment. Willow is a British barn owl, a male barn owl, and Bobo is an African spotted eagle owl. So we've got two different owls that they contrast, if you like, from where they're actually originating from. And we use those contrasts to talk to children or adults about how owl physiology, for example, doesn't really change regardless of continent, but obviously other things would change in terms of predators. And it's really about raising consciousness around particularly the plight of the British barn owl in this country.
Yeah, because, I mean, everyone gets a bit excited. They see something like Harry Potter and there's, of course, an owl in that. And that in some way must help the cause and what you're trying to do at the moment and give the interest. But even then, there are a lot of things which actually hit these animals in their natural habitat.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of factors that actually affect the owl population. Other owls are doing quite well at the moment. Tawny owls are doing better. Barn owls, because of the nature of the way they hunt, they're crepuscular hunters, so they're dusk and dawn hunters. So they hunt in sort of twilight times, and they hunt low, so you often see them swooping, and this is where they're getting hit by cars or disorientated by the changes in farming practices around grass verge, coming right up to the road, as they would because of land is precious. So the change in habitats, owls live mostly, the barn owl lives literally in outbuildings, it prefers outbuildings, and those habitats are sort of diminishing as people build and convert barns.
Yeah, so they all turn into flats, don't they, sooner or later, which obviously limits their habitat. But where did they live before we had barns, or is it just been that long that they've kind of adapted over the last few thousand years?
They've adapted, yeah. I think they've always enjoyed living around people, just been an adaptation, but they tend to habitat in those areas. But they do live in hollows of trees. You get a lot of people now, a lot of conservationists putting up barn owl boxes, which is really good because it sort of gives them somewhere else to go.
So there are ways of helping to conserve. You said the barn owl box, I was not aware of. They're not small creatures, are they? So it's going to be quite a hefty hole for them to get through.
They're really small.
Are
I know, everyone thinks they're big. The pictures on the website, it was really funny when they came out because it makes the barn owl look like some sort of enormous creature. Yeah, they're really small. A barn owl wouldn't be more than maybe, 9 to 10 inch.
That's big. A 10-inch bird coming at you. If I was a vole, I'd be very worried.
They're about the same. A barn owl's about the same size as a pigeon.
They scare me as well. So if people want to book you to come along and give a talk, what do they do? How do they get in touch?
I'll give you our email address, which is owlsontheprowl@hotmail.com. Just drop us an email and we talk about costing. The workshop specifically focused at children are, rather than just going in and saying, here's some owls, and talking to children for an hour about owls, and build a story. We've got a huge, giant, interactive, fuzzy felt board, and they get to put all the sort of characteristics of owl life on there. So we start with them building a town, then building the countryside, then building where the sort of danger points might be for owls, like roads or whatever. And then we put in predators and prey, weather conditions that might affect owls and their habitats. So the kids get more of it, we're learning about owl conservation. And then we do a creative activity with them. So nature scrapbooks, puppets, just what we are looking to tie it in with the topic they're covering. A lot of the schools, it's been around nocturnal animals, so it's kind of tied in quite nice with their curriculum, so pretty flexible.
Brilliant, so maybe we can get in touch that way. But are you still doing all the other stuff? Because last time we spoke, I think we were talking about movies on a barge, that sort of thing.
Still doing all that. That starts again on the 14th of November. I'm actually moving on to a barge myself at the end of this week.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's why it's been a bit hectic recently. And all that's continuing, so It's just more to do, yeah.
But you're loving it.
Yeah, I love it.
And what's the websites for all your other bits and pieces? How can we find you there?
For the cinema, it's regaletcanalcinema.wordpress.com. And we're on Facebook with the cinema.
And what else have we got as well?
I've been doing a load of work recently with two artists I work with. I'm part of a collective called Strange Ways, as in the prison, but nothing to do with the prison. We've been going together for 7 years. And we've just finished a 3-month residency at the New Art Gallery in Warsaw. There's quite a lot came out of that. We're also on Twitter at Strange Ways Art.
I'm sure there's plenty of other things happening too. But if you have a chat with you about one, and whilst you're giving a talk on owls, you'll be able to tell them about something else as well, probably. But there we are. But Owls on the Prowl sounds absolutely brilliant. Whether it be a school, a community group, or whatever, it's well
absolutely.
Worth getting you along.
Yeah.
And particularly
guides anybody really.
Great to actually meet the animals.
Yeah, absolutely. Get to meet them, touch them.
Elaine Cassidy Smith, thank you once again for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jason.
Cheers.
You take care.
You too. Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
Let's take our final song from Tinny then. This is Window Shopping.
I go window shopping, oh, I don't even drop in, oh, if I see something I need, I just walk on by. I got money in my pocket, but I'm not in a hurry. Walking down Bond Street, I'm in the danger zone. Life-size Bobby dressed up, ready to seduce Ken, but I could not be bothered. I'm not alone. I go window shopping, oh, I don't even drop in, oh. And if I see something I need, I just walk on by. I got time on my hands now, and butterflies in my belly. It's just one of those days when being alive's enough. My head can't stop from turning, my feet turn to jelly. I must remind myself that it's just a lot of stuff. Just walking around.
Window shopping from Tinny. We're now joined on the phone by Mick Savick from the Staffordshire Regimental Association, the Rugeley branch. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well, and you?
I'm good, thank you. Now, there's been lots of talk, obviously, about the 100th anniversary, the start of hostilities in World War One, and our thoughts, of course, turn this Remembrance Weekend, particularly as we head towards Armistice as well on the 11th. But in the middle of Staffordshire, you're looking at bringing a new monument to mark this. So tell us a little more about the appeal that you're putting together.
Well, what it is, we've got a memorial garden at the Arboretum just outside of Aldershot there. And it's looking a little bit tired, a little bit dated, and we wanted to make it better and more impressive. So we decided about 18 months, 2 years ago, that we'd try and raise some money to improve the memorial garden. And that's really where it all started from. We've been raising money, not just the Rootley branch here, but other branches throughout the country, to try and get it improved.
Do you have any idea of the improvements in mind that you'd like to do once you've raised the money that you're after?
Well, really, you do need to look at the photograph of it. What we had before was a small 3-foot centrepiece within the memorial garden, which, again, as I've said, looked a little bit tired. Now we're looking at something that's 18 foot high, made out of Staffordshire stone.
And you're looking at doing the boys proud, basically.
Exactly right, but it costs £30,000.
It's quite a bit of money to bring together, and there's various events taking place to help fund that, one of which we'll be finding out about from Ray at Lee Hall Social Club, because there is a dance taking place this coming Saturday, and we know that there's going to be people dressing up in the whole outfits from the time, whether it be military or otherwise, and it's going to be an interesting night down there. But I mean, that's just one of a number of events that you have taking place, particularly through the Rugeley branch.
Exactly right, yes. I mean, we've already had the Great War march through Rugeley. I was in Carrick and Hensford, followed by fundraising and things like that. And Saturday is just another night to try and raise some more money towards the memorial.
So do you have a website where we can see the current memorial?
You can, yes. You can go onto the Staffordshire Regimental Association website. And there are photographs, and it tells you how far we've got with the appeal and so on and so forth.
Does it let people know on up-and-coming events? So if they perhaps can't get to the one this weekend, they can get to future events?
Yes, for sure, because, I mean, the branches aren't just here in Staffordshire. We've got branches all over the country.
Perhaps if this one is a bit too farther afield, there might be something a bit closer to home that people can pop along to.
Yes, for sure.
What sort of events do you know that's going on in the area over the next few weeks?
Well, I know that Cannock and Litchfield, they're having wartime memory evenings between now and Christmas, all towards the memorial, and I'm sure that'll be fantastic.
And, of course, you've actually got the Staffordshire Regimental Museum as well. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, the museum itself is undergoing a great transformation, in as much that now that we no longer have the Staffordshire Regiment, and the 3rd Battalion and the Mercian Regiment has also gone, unfortunately, we are now looking to knock down the museum just outside Litchfield on the way to Tamworth, and we're going to build a completely brand new museum, which is a fantastic event, which all the guys will be able to go and visit whenever.
And I'm sure there'll be many people who'll be interested in seeing that and also enjoying the memorabilia that goes on there, because obviously the Staffordshire Regiment has got an absolutely massive history, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely fantastic. I mean, as a veteran, we have our own veterans Facebook page run by a gentleman called Dave Newey. We've been speaking to people that we haven't seen for years and years, and it's really nice to try and catch up.
So if people do want to go along and find out more about you, it is the website, which is www.staffordshire-regimental-association.co.uk. They can all about what's going on there. Also Facebook and Twitter as well?
Well, you'll find all that on the regimental page.
Brilliant. Well, great speaking to you, and we look forward to finding out more about future events as time goes on, and good luck with the rebuilding of the museum.
Well, God bless you all, and after yourself.
Thank you.
We're joined now by Ray from the Lee Hall Social Club to tell us all about the event on Saturday the 8th of October. Ray, hello.
Hello.
So, obviously, raising money for this memorial. It's going to be a really big night down there on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, we're looking forward to it as well, and hopefully we'll get some people turning up in costume as well, just to commemorate, obviously, the 100 years.
So tell us a little bit about what's actually happening on the night.
So really, it's just a night time of nostalgic memories with Prestige Swing Band and our in-house disco, and they'll be entertaining everybody for the evening as well.
Any refreshments at all?
Liquid refreshments, of course.
Yes. You can come and buy what you like behind the bar. That's what counts.
And obviously there will be a raffle that's been run as well. So everything's all in aid of raising funds for this new memorial.
So tell us about where we can find the Lee Hall Social Club.
Lee Hall Social Club is in the centre of Rugeley on Sandy Lane. So it's very close to the town centre on the road towards Cannock.
So easy to find,
yes.
Great parking, and a lovely venue itself as well.
Absolutely, yes. Mm. Probably the largest club in Staffordshire.
Plenty of room for people to go along then. So do people need to pre-book tickets or can they turn up on the night?
It's preferred, but we can still sell tickets on the night. They're £10 each and they will be available on the night.
And what phone number do they ring if they do want to book tickets?
And if they want to, 01889 583 175.
Ray, thanks for joining us.
All right then, many thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that's it from us for this week. Zoe, lovely to have you here as ever.
Thank you very much.
And another busy one next week planned.
Yes, I know. We've got it all planned out already.
We're even potentially lined up to have a dancer in the studio again. So we'll find out more. That might not happen. You never know. Fingers crossed it will. It's going to be an interesting one if it all comes together for next week, I'll tell you that. We'll be back with episode 281 then. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.